This is CKUW 95.9 FM, streaming at ckuw.ca. We hope you've enjoyed listening to us, and stay tuned. CKUW is managed by the Winnipeg Campus Community Radio Society in accordance with CRTC and Industry Canada rules and regulations. As a not-for-profit radio station, CKUW is a member of the National Campus Community Radio Association and adheres to their statement of principles to provide an alternative voice. CKUW operates on a frequency of 95.9 MHz on the FM band with 450 watts effective radiated power, or ERP. Our transmitter is located at 7 Evergreen Place in Osborne Village. Programming originates from our downtown studios at the University of Winnipeg in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. We would like to hear from you and welcome your ideas to improve listening, which will be heard on CKUW in years to come. Address your comments and suggestions to CKUW 95.9 FM, Room 4CM11, 515 Portage Avenue, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3B2E9. You can call 204-786-9782 or email us at ckuw@uwinnipeg.ca. This is Victoria King speaking for the Board of Directors, staff, and volunteers of CKUW 95.9 FM. Thank you for listening and stay tuned for more great community radio.
It's time for Night Danger Radio.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Man, it doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought me some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. And the fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. But as long as you'd love me so, let it snow, let it snow and snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you really grab me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. Oh, the fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. But as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
69 Chevy with a 396 Fuley heads and a Hurst on the floor. She's waiting tonight down in the parking lot outside the 7-Eleven store. Me and my partner, Sonny, built her straight out of scratch, and he rides with me from town to town. We only run for the money, got no strings attached. We shut 'em up and then we shut 'em down. Some guys, they just give up living and start dying little by little, piece by piece. Some guys come home from work and wash up and go racing in the street. I never used to start fires because I could. I was either cold or misunderstood. I think it takes a little courage to learn to forget. Smoke puking out from my argument. Have you paddled glassy water under northern lights? Have you taken up someone else's fight? Heard a baby's first lonely cry. Found comfort in wondering why. In the strangest part, I'll be by your side. What the hell do you expect that you will find in all of the meantime? All in the meantime. All in all the meantime. Midnight quiet, the deer in the field. The northwest wind keeps you real. We've bounced back from every holy shore. Found comfort in wanting more. And in the strangest part, I'll be by your side. What the hell do you expect that you will find? In all of the meantime. All in the meantime. All in all the meantime.
Hi, this is Em from Winnipeg Punk Rock Flea Market, and you're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM Campus Community Radio.
Give it up for the new media.
Started young as a child, but what could become? They said choose and follow through. And I
Mike Tyson, he the boy that play football for Montreal.
No, you old coop, he a boxer, man. Yeah. Let me tell you, I went to his fight a couple months ago. I seen him hit that boy. He hit that boy so hard, his head flew off into the 18th row.
I was in Jeff's crib one night about 8, and we were watching a couple of Mike Tyson fight tapes. Jeff was like,
man, you see how hard Mike's punching?
Come on, Jeff, the other guy was just lunging. Left, right, another KO. Ooh. If that was me, I'd have been okay, though. The very next day, I gave Russell a ring with J. Allen, Lior, and we all called Don King.
I said, yeah, Don, I got a problem.
Tell him, Prince.
Yeah, what's up? What you saying? You trying to solve them? Forget the small talk. Let's get to the nitty-gritty. Me and Mike, 2 months. Trump, Atlantic City.
Yo, you got this. You gonna bust dude up.
Yeah, you can be my trainer.
Word up?
I'm rough like a freight train, smooth like ice. And yo, Jeff, straight up, I think I can beat Mike Tyson.
Man, you could beat him, man.
Yo, man, word
up. You could beat him, man.
You know, I put on a couple pounds, man. We can do this,
you can
man.
Do it.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Yes, yes.
Fresh Prince challenges Iron Mike Tyson to a fight.
Ain't that the boy who knocked the guy's head in the 15th row?
Leroy, you read the paper. That boy lost his mind.
There was a press conference to see what training I was doing. Before then, I had never heard reporters booing, cameras flashing. I was in the middle. I didn't want to look dumb, so I exaggerated a little. I said, I've been training 20 hours a day, lifting big old cars and big bales of hay. And I jog 10,000 miles every morning, thinking about Mike and my moment of glory. I drink water 20 gallons of pop, and I can throw a Volkswagen a whole half block. And 4 million sit-ups in a minute. I ain't lying, I did it. The general public thought I was a fool. I was getting dissed, but I guess that was cool. Well, you know, getting dissed is never good, but I was even getting dissed in my own neighborhood. I was at the corner at the top of my block. There was a couple of people standing outside of the barbershop. It was Lawrence, my barber and friend, and he yelled out,
"Hey, Prince, you can win."
I said, "Really?" And I stopped the chat.
"You can beat him, man, if you hit him with a bat." "You gonna get wrecked, but you can have your shoes when you break your neck."
Everybody was laughing out loud. I thought at least my own grandma would be proud. I went to her house and snuck in and surprised her. I heard her on the phone.
I found the box on Tyson.
It's fight day, and man, am I hype. Whoa, I can't wait to see Mike. Boy, I'm hype, ready to do my thing. Trump Castle Casino.
In this corner.
Sliding and grabbing, slipping and dipping, hustling and jabbing. For a second, I look good out there, but then Mike runs to reality, my worst nightmare. One punch, that's all it took. He hit me in my ribs and my inside shook. Now how can I say this and be a little discreet? Let's just say that my bowels released. I called timeout and went back to my corner. Said to my coach, ain't no way I'm going to hell back out there, man, you can't forget it. My body's like a punching bag and Mike is gonna
hit it.
They tried to make me go meet my doom, but I sucker punched my coach and hauled to my dressing room. The next day, the headline in the town, Fresh Prince breaks camp, Tyson wins first round. Some fool asked why I ran away. I said, a good run is better than a bad stand any day. My career is over as far as fighting, but I don't know what made me think I could beat Mike Tyson.
You know, I can't see what possessed you to want to fight Mike Tyson.
I don't know, man. You know, I was watching the tapes, man. I just got hyped, man. You know.
But see, by me being your trainer,
yeah.
I watched you fight.
Uh-huh.
And I watched the tapes with you.
Yeah.
And by me putting your fight and the tapes together,
yeah.
I really, in my heart, think I'm ready to fight Mike Tyson. I think
Jeff,
I can beat
Jeff,
him.
Jeff. Nobody can beat Mike Tyson.
No. See, you,
on,
when you were saying you were slipping
on,
and dipping
man.
And
yeah.
sliding,
yeah.
you should have been sliding, slipping, and then dipping.
Other way,
I was training. I threw an uppercut.
All right,
and then
Jeff,
I dipped,
Jeff,
I threw a right
Jeff,
cross.
All right, that's
and
it.
I was slipping,
this record is
sliding,
over.
Dipping,
the record is over.
And I was
stop
doing
the record.
Shuffle,
stop
and
it.
I was
the record is over.
Left cross, I can
Jeff
beat.
Is losing
I really
it.
Think I
it's
can
over.
Beat.
He's losing it.
Because you
the
were dipping and slipping
Cut.
And sliding, and I should have been sliding, slipping, and dipping.
Medic,
I could beat him.
Thank you.
CKUW. Hey, man. You gotta wait your turn, Tom. Tom, you know, you're not until the next set, dude. So, like, just take it easy with that piano. CKUW, 95.9 FM Night Danger Radio is on the air. We are live in downtown Winnipeg at the University of Winnipeg. The 4.5 floor of Centennial Hall. We're all by ourselves now, like usual. And, yeah, what a week it was, folks. I got lots to talk about, so we're probably going to play like 6 songs for the rest of the night, and the rest will be all talk and no rock. But anyways, the opening set, we're going to talk through this sucker, I'll tell you that much. So we just heard Survivor, Eye of the Tiger, from the record of the same name, 1982, Scotti Brothers Records is who put that thing out, and they are probably rich from that. Yeah, we're going to play Eye of the Tiger. Any excuse to play Eye of the Tiger, Night Danger Radio will jump on it. And, of course, the reason is the big, apparently, fail of a fight between Mike Tyson and some dude. I don't even know his name. Just some guy like half the age of Mike, and they fought, and apparently it was horrible. Yeah, which is funny, because I was like, when I saw the announcement of that, I was like, this is going to be horrible. And then a bunch of people paid, a bunch of money on pay-per-view, and they were like, this is horrible. So anyways, we heard DJ Jazzy Jeff and the French Fresh Prince. I wrote French Prince down here. And the French Prince? Hey. Bonjour. Bonjour. Comment t'appelles-tu? It's really the Fresh Prince, but maybe he wants to change his name to French Prince. I don't know. Maybe he'll learn French and he'll change his name. I think I could beat Mike Tyson, which was a 7-inch put out in 1989 via Jive Music and one of many, many hits for DJ Jazzy Jeff and the French Prince. Yes, I said it. French Prince. So there you go. It's on his greatest hits package. The whole dang works. So yeah, we kind of had to take a little dig at the Mike Tyson fight, even though I didn't see it, and even though I don't know the guy Tyson was fighting. But I read all the Instagram things and the Facebook things, and it was pretty funny. People were like, damn, that was terrible. But on a serious note, damn, boxing. Like, so when MMA came in, you know, and was taken over the world, and MMA, I think, it is more popular than boxing at this point. Like, I don't know the stats and stuff, but, I've been a boxing fan since I was a young lad, and I kind of lost the plot on boxing, and I'm not a big MMA guy. I tune into MMA, and I'll watch a boxing match, but, you know, I don't have anything at stake. I just kind of watch it because, you know, maybe nothing else is on or something like that. But, you know, it's a bit of a concern, you know, if and I'm not freaking out, but for boxing, you know, so what happened this last weekend was, you know, they had the terrible Mike Tyson fight, which kind of looks bad on boxing, but then MMA had this really, really famous boxer, this really, really famous fighter named John Jones, and he apparently made a comeback on the weekend, the same weekend as the Tyson thing, and apparently that was a real deal fight, you know, and John Jones won. You know what I mean? Like the optics of that, you know, it's like MMA just crushed boxing. You know, I talked to a few buddies, and they said, man, the prelim fights of the Tyson deal were way better than the actual Tyson fight itself. And that's, you know, if I'm a boxing guy trying to make boxing, you know, compete with the MMA, I'm a little concerned. That's embarrassing and whatnot. And then there's people like me who just had no interest in it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what their pay-per-view numbers were, but dude, I didn't even, there wasn't a second when I was like, yeah, maybe I should spend the 60 or 70 or whatever dollars it is for that pay-per-view. There wasn't 1 millisecond when I said that. I was like, yeah, whatever. But anyways, yeah, and the new Meanies to change gears a little bit of rock and roll. And I want to play from a record called Highways. That came out in the year 2000 on the new Meanies label, Mean Music. And we played that because the announcement finally came out, pretty much the annual new Meanies show Xmas show is on December the 28th at the Pyramid Cabaret. Last year, I believe it sold out. There was a million people there. It was really fun. And the Meanies did not disappoint, despite them not really being a band anymore. You know what I mean? Like, they don't, I don't think they jam much anymore. But lead singer Damon Mitchell is active in the scene. He's playing in tons of bands. And so his chops are right up there. But yeah, and I think Jay Kane, he's playing in the Grateful Dead tribute, so his chops are still there. I don't know about Chico, you know, how much he's playing the guitar, but he sounded good last year, so he probably practiced up pretty good. And yeah, and then Sky, you know, it was funny, like I talked to Jay at the show last year, and I'm like, so because Sky doesn't live here anymore, he lives in Vancouver or something, or at least British Columbia. And I was like, well, Has he practiced at all? And I think Jay's answer was simple. He's like, Sky's so good, he doesn't have to practice. And he sounded freaking awesome. He's the bass player for the Meanies, if you didn't know. So make sure you get your tickets. I think you can get them probably already through the Pyramid website. And that could be, if I play my cards right, could be my last show of 2024. And that would be a pretty darn good way of going out, I would say. One of my favorite all-time bands, that's for sure. So, and speaking of one of my all-time favorites, we heard Del Barber before that, and this is sad news for sure, but we heard a song called Meantime from his record Stray Dogs, which came out in 2021, which was, and he self-released that one. And, well, Del has announced that he is hanging up the guitar and the vocals and the harmonica and all the stuff. And yeah, I think he's going to concentrate on family, and he's got a farm, actually, somewhere in a secret, top secret location, somewhere in Manitoba here. And I think that's what he's going to concentrate his stuff on. So he's having a, I guess it's a retirement show. I really hope it's not. I hope it's like he changes his mind and says, hey, I'm going to do another record and I'm going to tour and everything. But it's going to be February 28th of next year. And it's going to be at the Park Theater. And guess what? Not that surprisingly, and I'm a dummy, I didn't get tickets. It is sold out already, folks. And rightfully so. Del Barber is freaking awesome. He is so great. This is a loss, you know, for Manitoba. And yeah, one of my favorites. And I got to try and weasel my way into that show. Or maybe, you know, maybe Del we'll add a second show. I don't know. I might message him on Instagram or something and go, Del, like maybe try and get an interview with him, man, you know, for the show, because the, you know, he's going to be missed for sure. So such great records. That's Stray Dogs records. Just killer. We heard two in a row from Bruce Springsteen, because I'm still kind of buzzing about the Springsteen show. I mean, my goodness, it was super cool to go to a big show like that again. I go to a lot of $20 shows, and I love those shows. I love the little shows at the, you know, Times Change in the Park and Side Stage and Handsome Daughter and you know, back in the day, the Goodwill and the Pyramid and stuff. And but there's something about going to a massive show that was really interesting. Like just looking around at the crowd, and I was on the floor. So I was like, I remember I turned to my friend Danielle who got the tickets, and I said, you know, we're on the ice surface here, and it doesn't look as big as it does, you know, say on TV when I'm watching the Jets roll around the ice and stuff. So, so everything was interesting. And then Bruce came out and just blew the roof off. He played for just under 3 hours, and it was ridiculous. I was into it. I was, and I mean into it in that, you know, 1 minute I'm like just bopping my head and it's just rock and roll, especially like we played Racing in the Street from just a spectacular album called Darkness on the Edge of Town, which came out in 1978 on Columbia Music. But so for that song, I was getting choked up, man. I was like, I was fighting back the tears and stuff. Bruce was just killing me. And then the song we heard before that, which is called Darlington County from Born in the USA, which came out in 84, also on Columbia. For that one, the cowbell came out, and I'm like, damn, and I was just going for it. And the show was like that. It was just a weird range of emotions, and I mean, it was crazy. I couldn't ask for any more, except for the price to be down About $200 because now I'm hurting. Now I'm like, hey, I'm going to stay home, for a while and stuff. But anywho, yeah, there we go. And it was just incredible. And I'm glad I went. That's for dang sure. And plus, I got to hang out with my friend Danielle, who I don't always get to. She's one of those, people that I see maybe every 3 months or something. So that was spectacular. That was so fun and great. And well, off the top, I might have jumped the gun a little bit, but we heard Dean Martin with Let It Snow, Let It Snow, and Let It Snow some more. From a record called A Winter Romance, which came out in 1959 on Capitol Music. By the way, that was not supposed to be a... Dean Martin didn't write that, but that was not meant to be a Christmas song, but it's turned out to be, it ends up being on everyone's Christmas playlist, I guess, and stuff. But the snow's not here yet. I walked into the station, and it was that steady rain that we've had all freaking day continues, and we don't have any windows here, but it says on the old weather thing that it's 1 degree and still raining. It says light drizzle. So there you go. We'll check CKW weather a little bit later and stuff, but there you go. Yeah, so it was an interesting week. I'm a pretty exciting week. So Springsteen came up, spectacular. And after the Springsteen show, I was like, okay, Grey Cup Sunday, Winnipeg Blue Bombers, Toronto Argonauts, and I'm like, Bombers are going to win. I had mega confidence. I was like, the Bombers are going to win. I don't even know what the score was. I turned it off because Toronto turned it up in the fourth quarter and just demolished us. I think they scored 41. I think it was 41-23 for Toronto. So we're going to have a music set all about losing and failing and whatnot. But I'm not bitter towards the Bombers. I mean, let's face it, the Bombers have been in the Grey Cup for 5 years in a row. They put up a graphic on Grey Cup Sunday that said there was only like five or six other teams that have ever done that in the CFL. And keep in mind, this Grey Cup was the 111th. So the Bombers are in pretty elite company. And there was a really interesting thing on the in the pregame show, which, by the way, the game started, I think, at 5:30. The pregame started at 1. So it was like 5.5 hours of CFL pregame. So it's pretty cool for if you're like me and you're a CFL fan. I was like, damn, this is great. And anywho, they said the Bombers were like, elite company. And the question they asked them was, do you consider the Bombers a dynasty? Because we won the first two of the five, then we lost the last three, right? And is that a dynasty to you? To me, it kind of is. I mean, just making it to the Grey Cup is not easy. Remember, before we went to the Grey Cup 5 years in a row, we hadn't won in 29 years. So, I mean, to make it 5 years in a row, I mean, we lost 3 times out of 5, but that's still an accomplishment in my opinion. So I'm not bitter at the Bombers. I'm disappointed. I'm like, damn, I thought we'd win for sure. They were playing their backup quarterback, and I thought we had the advantage there. But boy, I'll take my hat off to them. They killed it. They played so well. So that was super disappointing. And I was still buzzing about Springsteen, and everything's great. But I'll tell you something else that happened on the scary side of life. So I'm up super late. It's like 2 a.m. and I'm outside, doing my bad habit of smoking. And I'm out there, and it's like plus 3 out, and I'm like, yeah, it's kind of chilly and stuff. And I look up, and there's someone walking down the street, which is kind of rare. I live in the middle of suburban hell, and way far off of like the main arteries, like Portage and all those things. So our street, our little suburbia street, is pretty damn quiet, especially after midnight when everyone's passing out. I'm pretty much the only one there. So I look over, and there's a little dude, like a shorter guy walking down the road, and I'm like, doo doo doo, whatever. And I look back up, and I'm kind of looking through the windshield of one of the cars, and there's the guy. I could see his head, bobbing up and down, and he's coming up the damn driveway towards where I'm sitting. I'm like, what the hell is this? And so I jumped up, and I cut the guy off. He was coming into our backyard, and I was I won't tell you what I exactly said, but it was something like, "Who the beep are you?" And I said it like super loud. And you got to imagine that it's deathly silent out there. Like there's no one awake, you know, and I'm yelling at this guy like, who the beep are you? And it was very strange. He was a little guy, and I think he might have been like 5'3", 5'4", you know, and he basically cowered. I scared the bejesus out of him, though, because like he's thinking, no one's up. Like the street's pitch black, you know, and there's only street lights. So anyways, I scared the you know what out of him. I saw him jump when I jumped out at him. And, you know, I'm thinking bad stuff. I'm thinking, if this guy reaches in his jacket, we're going for it. Like it's on. Like it's you know, like we're not. I'm not getting stabbed in my own, you know, backyard. I'll tell you that much. So, but he cowered and he kind of curled up. You know what I mean? Like he kind of curled up and then he started mumbling something which I couldn't understand. And I just stood there and he turned around and he didn't run or anything. He just walked and he walked, you know, through, you know, back up to the front yard and then cut across our lawn. And so I kind of followed him and I was like, damn, you know, and I'm still thinking this guy's going to turn around and probably try and stab me or punch me or something. So I left a little space, you know, there, but he didn't do anything. He just kind of, you know, like slowly walked away. And then I felt bad. I was like, oh, you know, like maybe I shouldn't have been so, you know, loud and mean or whatever about it. Cause, you know, I sounded mean. I was about ready to fight, actually. And yeah, it was really strange. And I felt bad after cause he just slowly walked away. And I was like, oh man, because, you know, I'm a big advocate for, for homeless people. I mean, if I could do more to help homeless people, I would, but I'm poor, you know, and I can't really help as much as I probably should. And, but, you know, I kind of thought afterwards, you know, I was like, wow, you know, I wonder if that guy was just homeless and he was looking, because it was kind of like a damp night. Like it was one of those foggy nights, you know, and stuff. It wasn't too cold, but, you know, you could feel the moisture in the air and it was kind of yucky out or whatever. And I was thinking, man, I wonder if that guy was just, you know, looking for like a place to sleep. Like we don't have a garage at home. We have like two sheds in the backyard. So I was wondering if maybe he was just trying to get some shelter out of the dampness and find a place that maybe he felt safe to sleep in. But anyways, I was astounded too. Like, you know, like we're one of like, what, probably 20, 25 houses on the street. And of course he picks our house and I'm out there. You know what I mean? I'm thinking, what are the chances this guy like just picks our house and walks up and I'm sitting there, you know? It was weird, man. It was weird, but kind of scary and kind of weird that I felt bad about scaring off someone who was clearly intruding on, I guess what you could call private property. So very weird. What a weird, you know, what a weird up and down week. And then on top of which, we got some kind of bad news about my dad and health news and stuff. But at the same time, that was weird too, because the doctors are like, hey, we think we caught this in time. And so my pops is going for a surgery in, I think it's a week and a half from now. And all the doctors and specialists are like positive about it. They're like, we think once your surgery is gone and you go through the recovery period that you're going to be good. We're still nervous though. We're still really nervous. So, you know, it's been one of those weeks where it's like, just strange. It's, you know, super highs, you know, Springsteen, super lows, Bombers losing, super low, you know, the news with my pops. But then, you know, but then talking to the doctors, they were like, no, man, you know, like we think it's going to work out. And so, you know, it's just been weird. It's been like, you know, it's life. It's just crazy. It's ridiculous, you know. And then we're still not talking too much about the whole Trump thing, which is another low. You know what I mean? Like, so anyways, what a crazy freaky week that was. So I'm so glad that there was some ups, you know what I mean, and not all down. That's for dang sure. So anyways, that's my week. I mean, sheesh, I don't know. Well, I wonder what's going to happen next week. I think what's going to happen next week is I'm going to have to shovel. I'm pretty sure that's we're going to see a lot of blinding white stuff, you know, the S word on the ground this week. I'm almost sure. So anyways, I'm just grateful that it's November the 20th and we're still unscathed, at least so far, I think. It might be snowing right now, S-wording out right now, but I don't know. Anyways, we better get to the tunes, man. What is it? Oh, gosh. It is 6 minutes to 1 o'clock in the morning, so we're going to run out of time for sure, and I'm probably going to talk all damn night. But listen, this next set, the Bruce Springsteen thing really made me think, and I'm like, who do you want to see come to play Winnipeg? Because many, remember, Bruce never played here before. That was his very, very first time, and I'm thinking his very, very last time. And so this next set is all bucket list bands, at least the ones that I can think of off the top of my head here. And we're going to start with Tom Waits, someone who I don't think will ever come here. I'm not even sure Tom Waits is actually going to tour ever again. I heard he doesn't dig touring and stuff, but hey, man, here's to hoping. We'll start with Tom Waits. He's got a song called A Sight for Sore Eyes from way back in the day. We're going to play it now. It's CKUW. It's 95.9 FM, the Night Danger Radio Show. We're going till 3 in the morning, and we're going to talk all damn night. Yeah.
Sight for sore eyes, it's a long time no see. Working hard, hardly working. Hey man, you know me. Water under the bridge. Did you see my new car? Well, it's ballin', it's paid for. Parked outside of the bar. And they bark. Keeping you, keep pouring drinks for all these palookas. Hey, you know what I think? That we toast to the old days and DiMaggio too. And old Drysdale and Madu, Whitey Ford and two. Said they just might be down. Oh, half drunk all the time. And I'm all drunk the rest. Monk still the champion. Oh, but I am the best. And hey, barkeep, what's keeping you? Keep pouring drinks for all these palookas. Hey, you know what I think? That we toast to the old days and the DiMaggio too. And Drysdale and Madu, Whitey Ford and two. Nicholsworth for our